Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
I think that we are going to be airing this January the 6th, which will be Monday, the first Monday of the New Year, 2025. Here we go.
Crazy. It's going to be a fun year.
It's going to be interesting. And we can see that, you still have your Christmas decorations.
Smart aleck.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be seeing my Christmas decorations for a while because we're taping early. So those of you who are like watching February episodes, no doubt I'm still going to have my tree up for them because we're taping everything in December.
Yeah. And, you know, we've, as you guys and we, you know, we truly enjoy the beauty of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the house is, you know, decorated well, but the fun thing is because of all the rooms that are decorated, you get to experience the different types of decorations, and it just the feel of it is kind of special. And we celebrate a Christmas. Linda and I, we do the Jesse tree, and we've done that, started that, and we get devotions, the Advent devotions, you know, for celebrating Christmas. So it's both the feel of it and the joy of it and the beauty of it, but it's the meaning of it.
Absolutely.
You know, that really matters. So we hope everybody has had, when you hear this, it'll be, Christmas will be over, but hope you had a great one. And we're certain, we're taping this before we have Christmas. So.
Yeah, we're actually taping this the beginning of December. As we go, when we're done taping today, I will actually head to the airport and go have Christmas with my mom. Well, this is when we go down and take Christmas to her. And we have a big surprise for her this year when we go down to see her. She has no idea. Now I can say it on the air. But we are actually bringing Caleb and Olivia with us and putting a big red bow on them and bringing them down to surprise her for Christmas, which will just delight her heart. So that'll be fun.
That's beautiful. So as we prayed and through our discipling, God told us to do another, what we call a primer, which is a refresh of discerning God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And to help people understand it, we're not going to go through, our entire course material with it. We're going to kind of just go through several key points here of what does it really look like to receive and understand God's will? There's a little bit of a misunderstanding about it and a struggle with it. Mm-hmm. And that is it really specific?
Mm-hmm.
Because people say, I get about being in the Word, and I get about God speaking promises, but is it really specific to my situations? Because
mm-hmm.
I need a lot of insight and wisdom about that, and I wonder about that. Is that really possible?
And a lot of times people stay in the broad strokes.
Right.
They will ask God enough to know the broad strokes, but not get into the details. And God is a God of details.
Right, right. And how is it that I can hear his voice about it? And even when people say, well, I've received a promise, I was just with somebody this week that said they've received a promise, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're waiting. They said, I'm waiting for it to be fulfilled. Or did I presume something that I shouldn't mm-hmm. have presumed?
Right.
And I went through it with them. And I said, well, do you believe you've heard it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe I've heard it. Okay, so if you've heard it, I said, it's not presumption.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard it, and you presumed it, that may be presumption. I said, but you said you've heard it. And they said, yeah, okay, I've heard it, but I'm waiting for it to happen. I said, okay, there is your issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is now you're just saying, I heard it, God, so go ahead and do it. Let me know when you do.
Right.
And I said, no, it's a walk. It's a step-by-step process. And that's really what we want to get into over the next several weeks here is how do we get to that specific
mm-hmm.
and process that specific in a way that God set it up for us to walk into that specific. And,
right.
And we want to clarify things and give it. But we want to start with kind of a key to it about our attitude toward it is Go to Psalm 106, verses 13 and 14. This is where a little bit of our problem is as a beginning point.
They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert.
Yep. Okay, so the key is they said they didn't wait for what?
They didn't wait for his counsel.
Yeah, is that they're children of God, but instead of what do you have to say to me right now about my next step, I'm not, it's not happening fast enough for me. And that's why it says they didn't wait. I don't want to wait any longer. I got to get this going. And they just move forward without God's counsel and said they wound up, testing him by saying, and this is an interesting little, kind of a description. I didn't wait. I moved forward. Okay, now think about what does that mean? They tested God. What were they thinking as they tested God, going off on their own?
They're basically just holding something out that they want, and then, you know, we're going to do it, and he'll stop us if you're not supposed to, that sort of thing. Just testing. Yeah. They're going their own way and trying to make it happen rather than allowing him to lead them step by step, right?
Yeah. And I think and here's what they're saying is, I think, you know, I'm following even biblical truth, and I think this is the answer. This is the answer that I want. Now, I haven't waited for you to confirm that, but since I'm doing this, would you please fulfill what I would like to have happen? And God says, when you do that, you're not waiting for my counsel, and you are presuming that I will just make happen what you would like to have happen. He said, what has happened is two things. You've walked away from me. By definition, why? Because you've decided.
Right.
And then two is you've actually wanted to become God and have me support your plan.
Right.
And yeah, I can't do that because I know better than you and I have a different.
Yeah. I think there's another interesting little part of this in the very first part of verse 13, where it says they soon forgot his works and they didn't wait for his counsel. They soon forgot his works. It reminds me of Psalms 111, where Psalms 111:2 says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. And that word for studied is actually frequented, remembered constantly, gone back to, and it really is standing on God's faithfulness. And so as I look at this, they soon forgot his works. They weren't paying attention to the character of God and remembering how faithful he was, even over time, to do exactly what he said he would do. And because they forgot his faithfulness and weren't revisiting his works, they didn't bother to wait for his counsel when things weren't happening as quickly as they wanted.
That's right. That's right. And it's all about, I want to deliver my great works. Do you remember what I have delivered? Why don't you just wait for me to do that?
Right, right. Even remembering that, you know, in doing that, as he's delivered them, it's always been a step by step by step by step thing, you know? And so remembering that and paying attention to how God works, and they just quickly, and we do it all the time too, right? You can just take on your own and try to go make it happen.
Yep. Okay. So then think about what we call the Lord's Prayer, and it talks about God's will. So go to Luke 11, go ahead and read 1 through 13, and we'll highlight. We're going to come back to pieces of it, so we won't go through all of it in detail, but we'll set it up. So Luke 11, 1 to 13.
Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
So I want to hit this at a high level because we're going to come back to specific things as we go through the weeks here. But he says, you know, our Father.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're walking with God, it's a personal relationship. It's Dad. It's not, you know, the big creator of the universe that's out there. It's no, I'm walking with him, and he's my Father who cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows, you know, what he's up to and what he wants to deliver to us. So it's personal. So as we do God's will, we have to get into that personal mode.
Right.
And recognize that it's not just theology or it's not just law. It's personal guidance from Dad who cares about us. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, which means Jesus said, you have to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, well, I got to be in the kingdom. If I was automatically in the kingdom, he wouldn't say, ask for it. He would just say, while you're in the kingdom. He didn't say that.
Right.
What do you do? I'm praying that thy kingdom will come and I'll be able to live in that kingdom. And we'll talk about that. Thy will be done.
Right.
Here on earth as it is in heaven, because remember we talked about they're a unit. So I have to seek his will and I have to understand that it will be done if I follow his will of what he wants to do. And it's, remember, it's his kingdom. He's the king. He's going to do the wondrous works, which you caught. And there's a will of him doing a work in my life and performing supernatural things in my life. I just have to be in the right place at the right time with the right people to be following the steps that he wants me to be in his will. But I need to seek his will.
Right.
Then he says, ask, seek, and knock. And asking is going to be, what's your will? And we'll talk about that. But it's not asking, would you please? It's rather, I got an issue.
Really, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, I got an issue. I got a decision. I got a complication. I got an adversity. I'm seeking your will. I'm asking for your will. Then I'm going to seek truth about it, due diligence. And then I'm going to knock when opportunity presents. And then he says, I'm not going to bait and switch you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. If you're asking for my will, I'll get you my will.
Right.
I will not tell you one thing and never perform. Or I won't tell you one thing and actually lead you into something awful. Because he gives descriptive awful things.
Right.
You know, are you going to give a scorpion? Well, that's going to kill you. So.
Yeah. And I do think that's a real problem that people have when seeking God's will, is there is a real fear that what God wants for them is not as good as what they want for themselves.
Right.
I mean, that is a real fear that people operate out of, is not truly trusting that his will is best, none better. Right.
Yeah. And don't I need to prove that I'm a follower? Doesn't have to be awful and I can put up with the awful. And he says, no, I'm going to give you the good. Matter of fact, he says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, when you think of the end of that section, it's kind of a strange statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're asking for this, and I'm not going to bait and switch you. Hey, I'm the good guy that's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that say? It means this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to place myself within you, and he knows the answer, that his role is to get you the answer. And you're seeking an answer.
Right.
I guarantee you, I'm going to get you the answer. And while he's giving you the answer, he's not going to bait and switch you.
Right.
You can trust it. You know, so it's kind of cool. And then he tells that little story in between of, you know, hey, you got a friend that says, I need something. And he knocks. No, I can't give it to you right now. Mm-hmm. But he keeps knocking. He says, I'm not doing it because you're my child. I'm not doing it because you're my friend. I'm doing it because of your persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, because of seeking his will, I'm going to tell you the answer. It's not just beat my door down until I finally give in.
Right.
God says, no, what he's talking about is persistence, is seeking my will. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. If you keep knocking to seek my will, I'm going to get you my will.
Mm-hmm.
You can trust it and be persistent with it, which means what? It takes time. And it relates back to our first verse in 106. What did they not do? They didn't stay with it.
Right, right.
They wouldn't wait. They wouldn't wait for God.
And went on their own way, yeah.
And I'm going on my own way. So he says, you know, be persistent in seeking my will in the kingdom. I'm not going to bait and switch you. I'm going to show you how to seek it, and I will give you the answer. Now go to, and this is what he says. Now, here's my role in it. He says, this is God's role. First of all, Psalm 23:1, which we know the Psalm, but just read that first verse.
Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want.
Okay. Now who's my shepherd?
The Lord, the same one who spoke all of creation into being, by the way.
Yeah. And the shepherd is it. See, it's mine.
Mine. Personal.
He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He is, by the way.
Right.
But it's my shepherd.
Right.
Why? Well, I'm gonna walk you into your path.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what? That means it has to get specific.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta learn what that looks like. Okay, now he tells us an important piece of that as a shepherd. John 10:3-5, and then verse 27.
Sure. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then verse 37.
27,
sorry. Yep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
So he says now, Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does that mean? And he says, as the shepherd and you're my sheep, mm-hmm. and I'm your shepherd and you're my sheep, you will hear what?
His voice.
His voice. I'm going to guide you. I know your name. You'll recognize my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And my speaking to you will guide you as a sheep from pasture to pasture, from place to place, based on what I want to do. And he says, you will hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be able to be led by into specifics. So now think about this. It's my situation.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible does have, well, and we'll get into this. The Bible has some truth about that and promises about that, that we have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll come from that. So it's not absent of that. And so as we get into this, it won't be we can bypass scripture. We don't. We start with scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got specific situations, you know, what do I do now
mm-hmm.
in this scenario? You know, like, for example, Josaphat, when he was being attacked, he did say, well, I know that you've spoken covenant
mm-hmm.
and that you promised that you'd deliver us from the enemy because of the covenant. He said, I know that. He says, in this situation,
mm-hmm.
we have no idea what to do. And we're coming to you because we need specifics.
Right.
Right now, in this scenario, all right, I start with the truth, but I need to know what to do now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say? And God says, okay, I will speak to you. And he said, the battle isn't yours, it's going to be mine. But tomorrow, you go down to this specific place and arm up as if you're going to go to battle, and then I'll tell you the next step. He gave him specifics. Well, see, was that in the Old Testament? See, no.
Right.
It wasn't there until he said, I need to hear what you have to say
mm-hmm.
about my situation. And God says, I will speak it to you. Now, it became scripture, but at the moment, it wasn't scripture. It was mm-hmm. rhema. It was personal application. So as we think about God's will, I want everybody to keep thinking, my role is to seek it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to get specifics
mm-hmm.
to really follow his will, because my situation is unique. And because it's unique, I can't just take a scripture and decide on my own what to do with it. I got to hear God, okay, now what do you have to say about mm-hmm. this? I have to hear your voice.
Right, right.
And it has to be specific. So that's where we're going to head.
Awesome.
Is as you're thinking of this year and you got lots of questions and lots of issues, lots of decisions at any one time, you know, you have what we call unresolved issues. Linda and I, we just, you know, have been processing this already, and we probably have 15 to 20 unresolved issues
mm-hmm.
for us, things that are coming up, our kids, our grandkids, friends, people, abiding leaders. We all need answers, and we have them down, and we're going after and saying, God, we got to hear specifics
right.
about this, and we'll show you what that looks like. And by the way, here's one thing it probably isn't. It's not the final answer.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's what we would like.
Right, right. The end of the story.
Just tell me the answer and I'll go there. And he says, well, it's a walk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a path to it. There's steps to it. And we'll talk about the why and how come there are steps to it. And so we're not looking for the final answer. We're just looking, what do you have to say to us as the next step? that you, right. you want us to take.
I'll give you. Do you want to hear a funny little story? Time for a funny little story.
Yep.
Just yesterday, I was actually speaking at our mom's group for our closing Christmas session. And so this past week, I've been working on the lesson that God had laid on my heart to do that, just really allowing him literally to weave it step by step. And just, you know, and he kept telling me, don't worry about putting it together yet. I'm just laying foundation. I'm giving you pieces. I'll put it together. And so it's a couple days before, it was the Monday before the Wednesday that I was going to give the talk. And I had blocked out the whole day really to just go ahead and plug in, get my journal out and gather all the notes and then put it into a format. And I cannot tell you how distracted I was. Like, it was really, really hard for me to sit down and actually do that. And I had my Jesus time in the morning, was just abiding and enjoying that. And I just felt the spirit of distraction. And so I immediately in the midst of that texted Dan. I was like, hey, I need you to be praying for me because I'm super distracted and I know this is what I need to be going to do. And probably within like a minute, he texted back, I believe I hear God saying, go to your prayer closet and write there. And I'm like, I can't write there. There's no flashlight. It's dark in there, blah, blah, you know? And so I'm like, okay, I valid input and I'm going to go, you know, I think maybe if I do something physical first, if I go do a little exercise or get some house cleaning done or do something else and then go to my prayer closet, then that'll be good. So that's my thinking, right? And so then I'm just like, I've got a couple more minutes left. I wanted to finish up in what I was abiding on. I am not kidding you when I say the very next verse that I hit in the passage I had been reading was talking about when Mary tells the disciples to, like, she's asking Jesus to turn water into wine. And she turns to him and she's like, do whatever he says. You know, go and do whatever he says. And the little blurb under it right away is like, this models the Mary's responsive obedience and how we are called to responsive obedience. When God says to take a step to do something, we are to take a step and do it. I'm like, okay, God, I got you. I'll go to my closet now. And so hilariously, I go up to my closet, go ahead. I put aside the things I wanted to do before I did that and go sit in my closet. And within 10 minutes, he laid out a complete outline, detail for detail, the things that he wanted me to say, the activities he wanted me to open it with, effortlessly spoke all of that to me, simply taking the step of obedience that he said to take. And then the rest of the day when I was putting it together, it was amazing.
Beautiful.
But that sometimes that responsive obedience, but talk about hilarious, just rhema coming to life. The next verse I read, whatever he says, do it.
I'm like,
shoot. So that means I don't get to just do my own thing for a little bit first, right?
That's right. That's right. That's beautiful. That's a great truth. And we'll talk more about that, how that works. So Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you tell us that our role is to come to you as Father. To seek the kingdom, live in the kingdom, seek your will, ask for your will. You're going to show us what it means to walk step by step. You're not going to bait and switch us, and that you will speak to us specifics because we have the ability to hear those specifics. And you're going to show us what does that look like to receive it and live it out and then begin to enjoy it and trust it as well as expect it. So we praise you that you're going to take us here to help us all learn what it means to receive your will. And see best and none better. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Looking forward to revisiting this topic. And I think it's very timely. It's very, very great stuff to be getting into. So if you have questions about today's podcast, be sure to send them in to us and get excited about what God's going to reveal to you through this primer and just remembering the invitation to ask, seek, and knock. It is a beautiful gift with the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us step by step by step. So thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.